So, yeah, good, good. Is it loud enough or? It's good. So we had wonderful time. It was amazing to see how God is moved among us. And it was amazing to see how God can visit us with the minimum that we do. Minimum, really minimum. That like someone shares a little bit of the Bible, a small message, and God just visited us and he did amazing things among us. And for sure we had fun. As men together, we had fun, so much fun. And I wanted to read, do we have kids or they already left? Only one. We're going to pray for you. And then we're going to start. Amen. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this time. I pray, Lord, to visit us again and again and again, Lord, and to turn this place into an upper room, Lord, that has the deliverance, that has the healing, that has the, Lord, your visitation, Lord. It's not visitation. It's your place, Lord. It's your place to take over. And we are just here to seek your face, and we are just here to not to hear from you, Lord, to experience once more an encounter with you, Lord, and change us and change our programs and change our teaching even, because we want you to teach. We want you to speak to our hearts, Lord. We are ready to hear from you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. God bless you, David. You can go now. Amen. As I shared, it was an amazing time. How do you know that you were in a man retreat? When you had meat, so much meat, you had so much left over, and the salad finished from the first day. This is how you know. When you know that you use a little bit of shampoo and it was enough for three people, and we had left over. That's when you know you are in a man's retreat. When you watch TV, no, just all the no, just all the, not all the time. That was amazing, amazing time. We had wonderful time. Today, God really put in my heart to. Long time ago, I was praying for this subject, so it wasn't like yesterday or last week even. It was something that put in my heart. Last time I spoke here, I spoke about the time of visitation. And the time of visitation is the time that God will rise up sons and daughters. Okay? That God will raise up a generation that they live as sons and daughters of the Most High. Amen? And from that time, I started, God put in my heart about this subject of sonship, about being sons and daughters. And before I left, it was like, yes, 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 yes. And I couldn't stop but thinking about our position in Christ as sons and daughters for the Most High. I'm going to read from Romans 8, 14 to 17, and I'm going to read it. So be prepared to hear very good English. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. Again, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves. Does not make you slaves. So that you live in fear again. It's not no more fear. Amen? Rather, the Spirit you received brought you about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. Say, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testified with our spirit that we are God's children. The Spirit, I'll say it again. The Spirit himself, the Holy Spirit, himself testified that with our spirit, that we are God's children. Say it. We are God's children. Come on, say it again. We are God's children. Amen. Now, if we are children, then we are heir, heir of God and co-heir with Christ. If indeed we share in his suffering, in order that we may also share in his glory. This last verse, I'm not going to talk about it today. I feel like it needs a little bit more time. So I'm going to talk about the sonship. The sonship of Christ. Our being sons and daughters of our Heavenly Father. I'm going to ask James to show us the first picture. The first picture is a picture of, not this one, the other one. Yeah, this one. The first picture I want to see, that this is a fleet, right? This is a fleet, the navy or whatever, or a sail. I don't know. When I was searching about it, I didn't want to search a lot about it. Middle Easterners searching about navy. And so I was like, no. Let's just, you know, take the first information and go ahead. Because I really thought, I was like, why there is no information? I should know more about this, but there is no information. I was like, maybe they know it. You know, so the picture shows different ships, right? And but there's in the middle, there is a bigger ship, a main ship, mother ship. I don't know what they call it. Do you know what they call this main ship? What? No. Let's call it the main ship. Let's call it the mothership or the main ship. I'm not convinced. The main ship that has the main everything. It has the main restaurant, the main kitchen. It has a theater. It has the main hospital that heals people. And the main storage for food that feeds all the ships around it. The main storage for weapons. And again, I didn't search this, but I'm guessing. I'm guessing. Really, I was like, oh, but I will just. Main everything in this ship, in the main ship, in the mother ship, whatever they call it. The office of the commander of this fleet is there, that directs all the ships, the small ships, that tells them what to do. They move as a unity, in unity, as a unit for accomplishing a mission. That they want to do something, they move together to accomplish this. Okay? So this fleet is one unit. But the most important thing is the mothership, because she's a mother. Anyway, in our spiritual life, it's the same. We have this picture in our spiritual life. In our spiritual life, we have a lot of ships, relationships, warship. We have a lot of ships, stewardship. But you know, those ships cannot function, cannot be doing what they have to do without the main ship, which is the sonship. The sonship of Christ. That we are sons and daughters of the Heavenly Father. Can you worship without being a son? Can you worship? Yeah, what are you going to do, Heavenly Father? But you're not a son. How you're going to worship the Heavenly Father when you're not a son? Can you have a relationship with God without being son? Can you? Can you have encounter with God without being son? No, you can't. Can you have a good relationship with your friends, with your wife, with your husband, with your kids, without being son? No, you can't. Can you have a stewardship? Amen, Amishka. Can you have a stewardship that you be faithful in everything that you do without being son of God? Can you do that? If you can, tell me, because you're a genius. It's not genius. It's just impossible. It's impossible to come to the presence of the Lord to worship Him when you're not a son. You will fake it. You will fake it. Sons. Sonship is the most important thing in our life. Because it's where everything starts. If you notice, this mainship or mothership has the, even the airport or whatever. The ram, thank you. The ram. Everything starts from there. And everything ends there. Because it's very important. The sonship is very important for our worship. It's very important for our worship. War. Can you go to a war and you know that you're fighting not flesh and blood? You're fighting spiritual beings without being son? Can you? No, you can't. Because you have to be a son to understand the spiritual war, how it works, to understand what is your weapon. And it's all about the weapon that we're talking about in Ephesus 6. It's all about, like, the yellow, tell me, the helmet of salvation, belt of righteousness, the truth, the shield of faith, and the belt of righteousness, truth, yes. All this is being in Christ. All this weapon is being in Christ. How are you going to do warfare, spiritual warfare, without the weapon, without the full armor of God? How are you going to put it on without being son and daughter? You can't. You can't. This is why it's very important. This is where it starts, being sons and daughters for the most part. Stewardship, everything that you do faithfully if you're a son. If you're a son. But if it's a slave, you can do some work. In the church, you can do some work. But not as a son, as a slave. We don't want slave. Do we want slave here? We don't want slaves. We want sons and daughters in this prayer. In our prayer, we cannot do it without being sons and daughters. We can't. Being son, that means you have the same nature. This is the first point. The first point is being son, that you have the same nature of your father. Okay? Being son is that you have the same nature of your father. But let me go back a little bit. Or for all of us, all our stories, who was our father before Christ? You remember? Huh? Me? Who?
Jehovah?
No. When we were in sin, when we were living in sin, doing the sin as much as we can, easy as we can, it's nothing. We're not counting sin. We're just doing it. Living in darkness, living in bondage, in everything sin that we know. Who was our father? Satan. It says in John 8:44, you being to your father and the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. No truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language. You know, it's going to be much easier if I speak to you in Arabic for me. You're not going to understand anything. But it will be like, you know what, let me try it. No, I'm just kidding. My native language is Arabic. I was like, you know, no problema. When Satan lies, he speaks his own native language. Yeah, that's so easy to lie. So easy, because it's his nature. Is lying and killing, murdering, to live in darkness. Hiding stuff. Living in darkness. The father of us being in sin was devil himself. The devil was the father. But his nature was darkness, loving sin. It's not like sinning and I'm loving this. Can someone agree with me? If you were a sinner before. Yeah? Loving sin, killing, lying, deceiving, selfish, destroying myself and others. Didn't we do all this kind of stuff when we had the father, devil himself? He wanted us to live in fear all the time. He wanted us to live in fear. This is his nature. His nature is darkness and killing and destroying and hurt. And we were going with him. Some people act like they have a new nature, but they still have this nature of the darkness. I shared this story before in Acts 19 from 13 to 16. Those are the son of Sequoia, Sceva. Sceva, in English, Sceva, okay. Sons of Sceva, they saw Paul casting out demons and delivering people and in the name of Jesus. They thought, okay, we're going to use the same. We're going to use the same name of Jesus to deliver people. They started to say, oh, in the name of Jesus, I deliver you. So the man was possessed with a demon, jumped over them and said, Jesus, we know. Paul, we know, who are you? And he jumped over them and he beat them very hard. They were seven, but one man, he beat them. Because they were acting like they have a new nature, but they didn't have a new nature. Okay? Until now, it's kind of a bad news, right? But you know what? There's something different. When Jesus Christ came to us, saved us from our sin. He became our spiritual Savior. He became our spiritual Savior and Redeemer. In verse 15, the Spirit you receive does not make you slaves. He said, I don't want slaves anymore. I don't want you to live here as a slave. The prodigal son came to the father, sorry, make me as one of your slaves. The father looked at him, I don't have slaves here. You're my son, come, enter to your father's house. You're a son and you will always be a son. You knew that you're wrong, you did something wrong, and you confessed, you were away. You destroyed your life. You destroyed your inheritance. You came back. You don't come back as a slave. You come back as son. Come back as a son. You come back as a daughter of God. Amen? Amen? God does not accept slaves. The spirit we received does not make us slaves, but makes us what? Makes us sons and daughters for the Most High. Amen? So that you live in fear again. You will never live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you receive brought you about your adoption to sonship, right? To be adopted as sons and daughters. And by the Spirit we cry, Abba, Father. Abba, Father. We were adopted because of what Jesus did. We were adopted not only to the church family. No. The most important thing that we were adopted to, God's family. God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. When they have a meeting together, I can join. I can join. Because I'm a son. Because I'm a daughter. Amen? I'm a family member. I'm not a visitor. I'm not an intruder. Really, I know. I am a son. I am adopted to the God's family. I'm not a slave. I just heard a story last week of a prince that likes to hunt. And he took one of his slaves with him to, when he hunts, pew, the birds fall, the slave goes and catch the birds, you know, for him. One time he was shooting and this slave was running and he was hit. And he was almost dead, took him to the hospital. He bleeded a lot. So the prince, he loves this slave a lot. So he said, you know what, I'll give him some of my blood. And he gave him some of his blood. The king didn't know. And the slave was fine and he was healthy, but he was still sleeping in the slave's area. But the king knew about that he had blood from his son. And he said, no, royal blood does not sleep in this place. When he's carrying the royal blood, he sleeps here with us. Hallelujah. And they transformed him from this place into the main castle of royals. This is me and you. Slaves to sin. Slaves to death. Slaves to our lusts. Slaves to Satan himself. But you know what? We had a blood transfusion. We had this blood fusion. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I knew it. I didn't know it. Anyway, but I know it. It's like you take blood from this person. I put it here. It's new blood. Hallelujah. I know it because it happened to me that I had a dirty blood that will lead me to death. That will lead me to death. But I had a new blood, royal. No, not royal. Divine blood. Divine blood that makes my place not with slaves anymore, but with the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, God Himself, the Father Himself, the Father Himself. I have a relationship. I can go into His holy place because of the blood. Because of the blood. I am a son. And you're a son, and you're a daughter of God. You have the blood. You have the divine blood. It's changed. Your title changed. You're not slave anymore. You're a son. And we were adopted by the Father. By the Father. Hallelujah. Our nature changed. We were before selfish. Anyone here were selfish? Huh? No one, me only. Again. Lying. Our nature to lie and to deceive and destroy. It was that this is how we lived. But our nature in Christ as sons and daughters changed. Who is here loves the light? Huh? We used to be love living in darkness and hiding, you know, hiding these secrets and hiding this relationship, hiding stealing money, hiding this and hiding this, hiding watching stuff in darkness. But today, I like to be in the light. I like to speak about my sin. I have no problem because I'm a son. I'm a son. Hallelujah. I love to be among the holy people, the holy, you know. I like holiness now. I like holiness. Used to be, no. I like the dirt stuff. But now I like to be, hallelujah. I pray for holiness. The nature changed. My nature changed. Instead of being selfish, I have a new nature that I give myself to others. Hallelujah. Because my master, my father, his nature is to give himself to others. Right? Lions, their nature is lions, right? Lion King. Okay? Their sons are lions, like them, right? Lambs have children, lambs, right? Rabbits have children, rabbits, right? How cute is a rabbit? It's so cute, right? Can you imagine a rabbit coming to a lion, Baba, father, or father mean? I'm going to eat you because you're not my son. You're not my son. You're my lunch. You're not my nature. You're not the same like me, right? But lions, hallelujah. Lions give birth to lions. Hallelujah. And our nature, we're not slaves anymore. We're not weak anymore. Because our father, who is our father? The lion of the tribe of Judah. When my father roars, I will learn how to roar. When the enemy comes, hallelujah, you've seen this several times in YouTube and TV. All what the lion needs to do is to roar. And all the other animals coming to attack, what they do? They run away because he's the lion. He didn't even fight. Hallelujah. And God wants us to, as sons and daughters, to learn how to be lions. Lions. I believe, and it was like a theme we didn't put for this man gathering. It was like a theme that there is a fight coming. There is a war coming. Not a physical war. I'm not talking politically. The spiritual war is coming. Are you ready to be a lion, or you're going to be a cute rabbit? Cute. We don't need cute people here. Really. We need fighters. We need warriors. We need mighty men and women of God to stand in the gap and to start roaring. Hallelujah. Because you're a son and daughter for the Most High. Sons of lions are lions. Because this is their nature. Their nature. Abba, Father. Lion will call his father Baba. Because this is my father. This is my father. I can call him father. I can call him Abba, Father. I can call him Abba. The word Abba means Ab. The word Ab is a Aramic word. It's in Arabic too, Ab. Okay? But the word father, it's a Greek word, pater. Okay? Pater. Like it's like a father, but P-A-T-E-R in Greek. I don't know how. When I read the definition of this word, I was like, amazing, amazing. The definition of the father, that we are sons and daughters for the Father, and we can call him Abba Father, okay? The definition is Father, which means the one who imparts life. Say, impart life. Say it again, imparts life. Not only imparts life, not only gives life, not only that, but committed to see it happening, okay? And is committed to it. The Father, the definition of Father is that the one who imparts life and committed to it. Okay, so whose responsibility to keep us alive as sons and daughters? My responsibility? No, my Father's responsibility. So you relax. So you rest. It's not my responsibility to be alive because he imparts life and committed to it. When I read this, I was like, wow, again, I can come and rest in this truth. That he will fight for my life. He did it. He took me from the death. Okay? And the other part is a little bit hard English, but for me it was easy. So it was Father, who the one who imparts life and committed to it. Now it's the tricky. Progenitor? Genitor. See, it's hard for you. I know. This one. Oh, no, you cannot see it. This one.
Progenitor.
You see? Do you know it? Progenitor is a descendant of, or the direct line of, so me, Jonathan, he's my direct line. He's my descendant. He's my offspring or whatever. Yeah? And I love the bringing into being to pass on the potential likeness. This is the Father. The definition of a Father is that he will make sure to pass on the potential likeness. Hallelujah. Which means his responsibility again to make us like him. Because we're carrying the genes, the blood. We're a direct line of the Heavenly Father. Hallelujah. And he will make us like him. You know that when a father has no hair, most probably his son will have no hair. Because he will be like him. A doctor, his son will be most likely a doctor because he wants him to be like him. A soldier, he wants his son to be a soldier like him. And the Heavenly Father saying that my responsibility is to pass on the potential likeness, that you will be like me, that you will be my representative in this earth. Come, how many of us wants that? How many of you wants that to be in his likeness? Amen? Amen. To be like him, to be like him, to call him in the spirit, Abba Father. Abba Father. That means, I want to be like you. I want to be like you. I want to love like how you love. I want to do that. I want to love my kids like how he loves him. I want to love my wife like how he loves her. I want to be like him. Amen? Amen? It carries the likeness of God. Second part, the sons. The first one is the sons have the same nature of the Father. The second part is the sons and the fathers has the same law, the same word of God. I believe this, another thing that God put in my heart. I'm going to finish it quickly. The word of God. The Word of God. The Word of God speaks. God the Father speaks to us. Speaks to us His Word. Speaks to us His Word. Every day, you meet with the Father and tell Him, speak to me. And He speaks to you through His Word. We come to Sunday to hear the Word of God, right? But sometimes, this is the, I pray that God will open our eyes and our hearts to receive this. We want just to be encouraged, to be comforted. But the Word of God does three things. Oh, well, two things I'm going to share with you. Three G's and three D's. Say three G's and three D's. Three G's and three G's. Three G's, one, encourage us. The Word of God encourages. We come here to be built and to be encouraged by the Word of God. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. This is encouragement. If you hear this from God, will you be encouraged? Yes, I will. So the Word of God encourages. This is the first G. The G, encourage. Yeah, in case you didn't notice. The Word of God encourages, but the Word of God challenges. Another G in the middle. You have to find it. I'm not like, think about outside the box. Anyway. Encourage us. Really, really, really. The Word of God will encourage us, but it will challenge us to Him. Him. It's not He. It. He will challenge us. Okay, Matthew, listen to this. In Judges 6:14, the Lord turned to him and said, go in this strength you have and save Israel. Gideon, this is Gideon, who was afraid, hiding to get some food. And he said, with this strength that you have, go and save Israel. Why? Why do you do this? He wants to challenge him. Because if you're not challenged by the Word of God, you're going to stay like this. You're going to stay the same level. We don't want you. We don't want you here. God wants people that accept those challenges. Yeah? Okay, Gideon, go with this strength and save Israel from the Midianites. Did he accept the challenge? Yes. Did God do anything through his life? Yes. Did God save Israel from the Midianites? Because of this little man's strength. The Word of God will challenge us. The third G is the Word of God will engage us. Will engage us. God does not have يعني عاطل. Mean? Stagnant. Does not have stagnant sons and daughters. You have to do something. You have to do. So the Word of God will engage us with God, with what God is doing. We're doing this book, Experiencing God, on Wednesday. And a lot of times it's repeated. The idea is repeated. You have to find where God works and then adjust your life and join Him where He's working. In John 5:16-21, my Father is at work all the time. All the time, the Father is working. All what we need to do is to see where He's working and to be engaged. Amen? What's the Word of God doing in the Son's life? First one, encourage us. Second one, third one, Those are the three G's I promised you. The 3D. Again, I'm going to think out of the box. Show us the second picture, James, please. You see? What do you see in this picture? Karabish, thank you. What do you see in this picture?
Colors,
thank you. What do you see? Please answer me. What do you see? Huh? Design, pattern, huh? Okay. That's it? Okay, what I see branches of a tree, around seven branches, and I see three eagles standing on those branches. Do you see them? Really? Believe me, it's there. Believe me, it's there. It's called 3D design or whatever, three dimension or whatever. This, with the normal eye, you're not going to see anything. You're going to see khalabish. You're going to see only colors from here and there. But if you focus your eyes closely and, I don't know, do this, you know, the cross eye thing. If you do this, you're going to see it. When we first bought this book, me and Rola, we were just getting married. And we were just almost in our honeymoon. We were in honeymoon. I can't remember. We had nothing to do, so we had a box to do. Anyway, so I bought this book, and I looked at it, and I told her, I can see this and this and this and this. And she said, this is a demon working in you, letting you see things that is not there. And she was afraid, who did I marry? Because she was like, she couldn't see it. One time we were sitting next to each other and she was trying and trying and trying and trying. And I heard her, oh, I see it. She saw it. And when you see it, it's so beautiful. It's so beautiful. But you cannot see it with your own eyes like this. You have to look at it in a certain way to see the unseen. The word of God for the sons and daughters are different. You can read, atheists can read this, Muslims can read this, and they read it to see how many mistakes in the Bible, and so on, so on, so on, so. But us, when we read it, we see things that the normal eyes, the normal spiritual eyes, does not see. Sons and daughters will have the spirit of revelation, the wisdom and revelations. You will see, you will understand things that normal people will not understand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You will see things from God's perspective, not from your human perspective. I was, the last week, Pastor Al was talking to us about the upper room. Amen? You remember last week, right? The upper room. And I was like, wow, yes, amen. Because in the upper room, you will see things differently. You will see things because you are a son and daughter that you will have the access to the upper room. You will see things differently. I lived in a place called Qina. I wish can you bring the map of Egypt quickly, please, again. The Nile, the most important thing. I lived in a place called Qina, and I did ministry here and there. But one time I was flying back from Sudan to Jordan, and it was very clear day, and I looked from the window. I saw the whole city from the window of the plane, and it was, I knew it because I know it's a very special location in Egypt. I saw all the buildings. I saw the little bridge. The little bridge was like thinner than a hair. I saw the big picture of the city that I was living in, you know? And I felt like God is saying, in the upper room, you will see the big picture. It's not clear. Don't worry about it. When we have the Word of God, we have a different perspective. We have a different... You will see the 3D of God's Word. Amen? That things, I believe, that things that from God's perspective, from God's eyes. When I shared this with Rolla, I'm going to share it in details later. I'm going to pray after it. When Jesus was going to the cross, they beat him, right? Was it painful? Let's make him suffer. But the Father, looking, my Son is healing the people. From the people's perspective, we're adding pain to Jesus. But from the Father's perspective, the 3D, my Son is healing the people. They were doing the stripes. Let's make him suffer more. But the Father looking with his stripes, I will heal them. They said, he saved others. They mocking him. Huh? He saved others. Let him save himself. The Father is looking. My Son is saving the world. Not himself, but saving the world. When you are son and daughter, you will see the Word of God from His perspective. You will see revelations and wisdom that the world is lacking in our days. Amen? Amen? Can we stand together, Joe? It's okay to repeat a song, right? It's okay, yeah? This song that your love is deep, your love is wide. Can we sing it and then you can sing whatever you want, okay? I not only felt, I believed there was a visitation of the Spirit of wisdom and truth, and the Spirit of wisdom and revelation. And I believe that God wants to visit us this way now. You know, to reveal that He is your Father, that He is responsible to bring you back from your wilderness, from your wandering in far, far places, that losing all your privileges as a son, as a daughter. Your love is deep, Lord. I pray, Lord, for a spirit of wisdom and revelation to reveal how deep is your love for us, how wide that we are the sons and daughters of the Heavenly Father. Come visit us, Lord. Come visit us. Hallelujah.